We're in a new series this month, and the series is called The Cross-Shaped Life. The cool thing about this little cross is that it's shaped in such a way that you can hold it, and your thumb can just go right there. And my daughter said, it's kind of like a hug. Right? If you also notice on the cross, what's in the middle of it? Yeah. As we talk this month, this is a really serious topic because as Christ followers, we're called to live crucified, to live lives that we are dead and Christ is alive. And a lot of times in our culture, in our day and age, people want comfort. They want to be able to choose what they do and have it be their own way, like Burger King, right? You can make it your own way, have it your own way. And Scripture and the way of the cross is very specific. It's not our own way, it's His way, period. The way of the cross is one way, period. We don't get to make changes to that, right? The cross is meant to shape our lives, not the other way around. And so as we get into this today, my prayer is that we can be challenged, church. We don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to just be like, oh yeah, we've been around this. The cross makes all the difference in the world. Amen? So the cross is more than a symbol, right? To this culture, all kinds of people, they'll wear it around their neck, right? You see crosses all over the place. And they're it's like, oh, okay. It's more of a symbol than anything else. For Jesus, though, the cross was the culmination of obedience, surrender, and great love. He chose comfort. He chose love over His own personal comfort. For Christ followers, all right, those in the room who you say, you know what, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, invited into my life, I want to follow Him. For Christ followers, this kind of lifestyle should be a daily way of living. A cross-shaped life is about total surrender to Jesus Christ. Not a life of mere just belief or Sunday religion, but a life that says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I'm telling you today, as we talk, this is tough. These are hard things, but this is what we are called to. We're not called to an easy Christianity. If it is, then it's not real. We're called because there's a cost. There's a payment for that. Jesus paid the price for our sin on the cross, but then we're called to then follow Him by picking it up. And we'll talk about what that means. Amen? I want us to be challenged today. So we're going to pray here in a moment, but I pray over this next even couple weeks that this church can be a church that lives crucified, that follows the way of Jesus more than we follow our own way. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank You for just this Your presence here today. Thank You for being in this service. Lord, thank You for Your word that's living and active. God, thank You that You've given us Scripture to teach us, to train us, to show us Your way, to show us where we've gone wrong. God, I pray today that You would open our eyes, open our ears to what needs to adjust in our life. Where do we need to repent? Where do we need to lay down our own way and pick up our cross? I thank You, Holy Spirit, that when You convict of sin, You do so not with condemnation, but with truth. And we thank You for that. We thank You that the Word of God is truth. We thank You that You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank You, Jesus. In Your precious name, amen. So today we have a lot of Scripture, all right? So if you've got your Bible or your device, Get ready. There will be some on the screen. But I do love the practice of looking it up if you have the ability to do that. I think sometimes we can get so far away from those things that we get even a little bit lazy. So if you got a Bible, you got a device, let's look them up together. Now, they will be on the screen if you don't have the ability to do that. And we're going to go through quite a bit of scripture. But so good. I'm excited. This series even really came out of one verse, honestly, and it's Galatians 2:20, which we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, my real prayer is that this we can live differently because of this series. So turn with me to the first passage that we're going to look at in Luke chapter 9. Of course, you know Luke was written by Dr. Luke, right? So an eyewitness to all the things that were going on. So turn to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 26. All right. The disciples, they'd seen a lot of miracles already, and this is the point where Jesus is getting ready. He's predicting his own death, all right? So 21 through 26, it says this. Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone who he was. The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things, he said. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day, he will raise from the dead. All right, so he was letting his disciples know, listen, I'm going to go through it. There's going to be a lot of trials and tribulations that are going to be coming. All right. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you, so Jesus is teaching at this moment, right? He's saying to the crowd, how many ever were around him, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Now, I just want you to pause right there. All right, so this is Jesus teaching, obviously, the crowds that are around him. But this is for us today, to you today. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, it's real simple. It's real clear, actually. It says, you must give up your own way. Now, that doesn't sound very fun, right? Is anybody with me? Like, that doesn't sound really fun because we all like our own way, right? We like to believe what we believe, do what we do. We have our preferences. We have our own ideas, right, about all things. We have our own way. So really, Jesus, in order to follow you, I have to give that up. What if I just do some? It doesn't say that, right? It doesn't say, you can give up some of your way. No, it says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Now, not just that, though. Then it says, to take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Verse 25, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of God will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and the glory of his Father and the holy angels. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose your own? Guys, that's a message for us today. It could be education, it can be wealth, it could be influence, whatever. You can gain the whole world, but you can lose your own soul because of it. Jesus is saying if we're going to truly follow him, like if you're going to be called a follower of Jesus, the steps are right in here. This passage is concise. It's really basic, right? It directly speaks to denying yourself, right? Surrendering our personal desires or ego. Taking up the cross daily. So that's embracing a life of sacrificial obedience. Are you guys hearing these words? Like, this is not the normal culture, right? This is all upside down to what culture says. But Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to be counted as my follower, this is what it's going to take. Following Jesus is not just believing, but living fully surrendered. Do you understand there are a lot of people, oh, I believe in God. Have you heard people say that? You know, and then you're like, well, their life looks nothing like a Jesus follower. The devil, do we realize this? He believes in God, but he's the devil. So belief in God is not the only indicator, right? You need to follow Jesus, follow the way of Christ. Turn with me to Galatians 2:20, all right? This is it. This is where this whole series came from, and I just, I love it because I feel like there has to be a call back to living crucified over just living comfortable, and I feel a mandate as your pastor to help us get there, all right? Galatians 2:20 says this, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So my old self, right? That is the person before Christ, before you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what that's referring to, that person, the before, the BC, right? Before Jesus, before Christ. That person has been crucified with Christ. They no longer live. That's pretty cool, right? That person is dead, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you dead yet? Are you dead enough? That's a constant prayer that I have to come back to the Lord all the time. Because I deal with selfishness like everyone else. I deal with pride. I deal with ego. And I have to nail those things to the cross. There's a reason why it says, pick up your cross daily. Because he knew, right, the enemy is going to come with all these things and want us to get distracted by even good things. But if we're not denying ourselves, if we're not picking up our cross, if we're not following the way of Jesus, then we're off doing something that's not honoring the Lord. The cross-shaped life makes us live different, talk different, love different, give different. Even how this cross, see how, I talked about it a little bit, how it's shaped, right? That's what the cross of Jesus, the way of Jesus should do to our lives, should do to our attitudes, should do to who we are, right? The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit can come and can change us from the inside out. I don't know if I've shared too much of this story, but I used to, in my later high school days, I dealt with a lot of anger, lots of anger, internal bitterness and things. Based on growing up and some disappointments and hurt, it's no fun to live that way. Anger and bitterness and things like that inside, when you don't deal with them, they change who you are, right? They shape who you are. And if we don't do something about it with the Lord's help, the things of the world, the enemy, hurt and bitterness and sin and addiction, those things can begin to shape us into something completely different, right? We got to allow the cross of Jesus Christ, the way of Jesus, the way he did things was so opposite. That's why they ended up wanting to kill him, because he was just doing everything against the law, even though they didn't realize he came to fulfill the law. They missed it entirely. I don't want us to miss what God's wanting to do in our lives, church. Amen. All right, turn with me to Matthew. All right, so again, another disciple wrote from his perspective what was going on during his time with Jesus. All right, Matthew 26. We're going to look at verses 36 through 39. This is Jesus, again, giving us a great example of surrender and laying down your life. Jesus is praying in Gethsemane before he's going to have to walk through one of the greatest things that he's ever had to do, dying on the cross for us. It says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said here, and of course he's talking to some of his disciples, some of his friends, some of the people that had been with him for a while. Sit here a while, I go over and pray. He took Peter and the Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. So here's the real moment of like reality. If you guys are watching The Chosen, man, you need to. If you haven't, get with the program. There is just such great visuals when you read scripture and then you begin to watch this happening and you can see on Jesus' face the anguish. Do you guys realize, like, he was a real person, knowing that he was going to be going to his death, not just even like, hey, shot in the head, boom, quick, done, fast, right? No. He was going to die on a cross. And even before that, he was going to be whipped 39 times, because I guess that was like the 40 would have been like killing him, but so they did 39, so he was just still alive. He was beaten first, and then he was hung upon the cross. And here Jesus is, fully human, knowing what his purpose is. He knows why he came to earth. But even in that moment, he's recognizing this suffering. Is there any way, God, that you can take this from me? Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, is there any way you can take this pain away? Jesus was there. He was feeling all the heaviness. And even in that suffering, Jesus himself realized, not my will, but your will be done. See, Jesus had to show us the ultimate example of how to be a follower, right? If we're going to follow the way of the cross, we're going to follow how Jesus did it, right? And he went to the literal cross. We don't have to go to a literal cross. Our daily cross looks way different than Jesus's. Now, I'm not saying there are tough things that we have to carry and go through, absolutely, but nothing like Jesus did for us. And he still said to the Lord, to God, not my will, but thy will be done. May we say that, church. May we live the cross-shaped life, not my way, Lord, but your will be done. You see, the cross-shaped life is shaped by three realities, really simple. Some of this I'm going to repeat today because I want you to get it. Three realities: deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Those are simple, really come off the tongue real easy, but those are hard. These are hard realities to live out. Amen? Anybody with me today? Okay, so we're going to go through a couple points. I got 3 points. I just said them. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Jesus, all right? So the first thing that you have to do is you got to deny yourself. It's a call to all of us that are followers to die to yourself. Going back to Luke 9, you must give up your own way. To deny yourself is to renounce your right to live independently from God. God, I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm going to constantly stay connected to you. You're the vine. I'm the branches, right? The branches don't have it all figured out. They got to stay connected to the vine. What does a branch do if it's not connected to the vine? It's going to die. Who do we think we are when we're trying to do it our own way? Ugh. You know, you wonder why society and culture is all messed up. Because this is the way, and they're going the other way. You cannot try to figure it out yourself. It won't work. God's the great designer. He set everything in play and in course. So when us little, you know, I just got back from the beach, you know, and you sit on this massive ocean and you look at all the sand, right? And there's like you try to pick up small, like so small grains of sand. That's like who we are in comparison to the vastness of God. And who here we are is like a little grain of dust sand, and we're thinking that we got it all figured out. Oh no, I don't need God's help. I got it. Wow. Okay. But that's how it is, you know? Like that's like the real reality. So we got to deny ourselves. Self-surrender. We no longer live to satisfy our flesh, but to please God. Now, let me tell you this. We can't do that on our own, okay? Like, our flesh is a flesh. It's there for a reason. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need God's help to even deny ourselves. Does that make sense? All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. You guys doing good? Okay. All right. We're going to move. Romans 12. Here we go. Romans 12, 1 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. All right? There it is. I mean, that's a perfect visual. We're called to be a living sacrifice. All right? For him. Turn with me to Matthew. All right, we're going to go fast. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Verse 25, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Verse 26, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? The question is no. The answer is no. All right, turn with me to Philippians. This is teaching, you see. If you don't know the books of the Bible, you can learn. All right, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. We could just end it there. Like, call the altar. Everybody comes, right? We need help there. Yes, Lord. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He surrendered. He gave it up. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Again, he chose the way of the cross, right? For us, for you. Whether you know Jesus right now as your Lord and Savior, he still chose it for all humanity. To have the option to be able to receive salvation from him. That's beautiful. That's our Jesus. Dying to self is the act of relinquishing your own will, your own desires, your self-centeredness, and instead submitting to God's will and his purpose for your life. Carrying your cross, Jesus commands us to do this daily and to follow him. That refers to embracing the challenges, the sacrifices, and the potential suffering that comes with following Christ. Guys, just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you won't have trouble, doesn't mean bad things won't happen, doesn't mean you won't get sick. None of that is guaranteed because we live in a sin-fallen world. But he did promise that he would be with us through it all. What promise? Amen. Quick illustration. I want you guys to think of a throne, right? Think of a king and a queen, and you know, you imagine their thrones, or think of just a king. Think of your heart, too, as a throne, right? Only one person can sit on the throne of your heart, right? There's only one heart, one throne. And the question for you today, is that person that's sitting on the throne of your heart Jesus, or is it self? Is the person on the throne of your heart self, making decisions based on you, what's best for you, your way, your preferences, your belief, your this, your that? Or is it the way of the cross? Is it the way of Jesus? His way, the way of the cross. And that really is the option for us to decide. Do you know that there's an acronym for the word self? And it is this. This has stuck with me my whole entire life. Because again, I've struggled with being selfish. Something I have to ask the Lord to help me with all the time. But the acronym is Satan's exact location forever. So when you think of the core of self, Satan's exact location forever, right? He is the most selfish. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. Number two is this. We got to take up our cross daily. Embrace the cross daily. The cross, you guys, was not meant to just be symbolic. And it was not symbolic in the day of Jesus. It meant death. All right? It wasn't a thing people wore around their neck. If you saw the cross, you knew either someone was going to die or they already had died. And it was a brutal death. Jesus is calling us to die daily to self-ambition, to pride, and to sin, you guys. This taking up our cross daily, it's a willingness to suffer. I know that's, this sounds tough. But it's meant to sound tough. Again, the way of Jesus is not meant to be this ushy-gushy, easy road. It's not. It comes with a cost. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. You guys still doing okay? I know we're going a little bit longer, but we're going to get there. You guys got a few moments still for me? Okay, here we go. Romans 6 says this. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. All right, some of you in here, that stuff's been crucified and you still let the enemy mess with you as if that's still there. Man, if you've asked the Lord to forgive you, he's washed that stuff. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that that's still a problem. That's still an issue. You are free when you've been forgiven, right? Those things have been nailed to the cross of Jesus. Amen? All right, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. We're going quick. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going to suffer as if something strange were happening. Instead, be very glad, I know that's weird, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. We're called to suffer alongside with Christ, not in the same way that he did, but realizing the Christian walk, part of it, we have to embrace suffering for his sake. I know that's not easy. All right, Philippians 3, 7 through 8. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. He's talking about all the things of the world, right? I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage so that I could gain Christ. Talking about this cross-shaped life, it messed him up so much in a good way that he was like, everything else matters nothing in comparison to what Jesus has done in my life. Guys, that's how we should be walking around, living a cross-shaped life, not in pride, but in humility, going, Jesus has done so much in my life. I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. We should be billboards for the world in humility, right? The fruit of the Spirit should be flowing so much from our lives because why? We're dead, right? Who we are died. The Christ in us, though, is alive and well, right? Overflowing with life abundance. That's where we're meant to live. by the Spirit's power, not by our power. We can't do it on our own. The last one is this, following Jesus, right? We got to follow Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Following Jesus is not imitation through human effort. It's about transformation through divine presence. It means surrendering to the indwelling of Christ who empowers us to live holy, humble, and spirit-filled. Again, we can't do it on our own. We need his presence. We need to surrender our lives to that point. That makes sense? Yeah. So here we're going to close. 10 practical ways, and I'm just going to go through them really quickly. Here are 10 practical ways to die to yourself and carry your cross. Number one, recognize and confess your sinful nature. Some of you in here today need to do that. Recognize and confess, oh, I need Jesus. I need to forgiveness. I need to make this right. Number two, surrender your will, your sins, and your selfish ways to God. Three, trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. Four, commit to pursuing God's will. You're like, well, I don't know God's will. Well, your Bible will help you. Everything you need to know about God's will comes from knowing Scripture. It's very clear. Number five, deny yourself daily. Sometimes you might have to do it multiple times in the day. Jesus, help me. Help my attitude. Help my anger. Number six, embrace suffering as a part of your journey with Christ. Number seven, prioritize God's word. Eight, pray for others. Nine, serve others. Again, this is how we die to ourselves. This is how we carry our cross. These are the ways. 10, make choices based on convictions, not convenience. Actually, there were 12 ways. I said 10. 11, practice self-control in all areas. These are bonuses. And number 12, focus on the eternal rather than the temporal. None of that, you're not going, wow, I never heard that before. None of that is new. But sometimes we need reminders because we hear things, we know things, but yet we're not living them out. Guys, we've got to live the way of the cross. We've got to let the cross shape us into being a Christ follower as according to Jesus is what he says. Dying to self and carrying your cross is a continuous process, all right, of surrender, sacrifice, and obedience, you guys. So we're none of us are going to get it right, and we're certainly not going to get it all figured out before heaven, but it's a journey and it's a process. Does that make sense? And we certainly don't want to be pointing fingers at each other. We want to give grace. We want to give love. We want to walk with people and encourage them in the way of Jesus, in the way of the cross. Amen? It involves putting Christ first in every aspect of your life. And again, we need his help for that. The journey ultimately leads to a more fulfilling and purposeful life in alignment with God's will. Back to that, in alignment with his will, not our will, right? You go back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the purpose. He knew what he was supposed to do, but yet his heart cried out, if there's a way, can this not happen? But yet ultimately I will surrender to you, your will, not my will. There's a really short illustration. It says this. Someone once asked a seasoned believer, why is your life so different? And the believer said this, well, I died 10 years ago. The man you're talking to is Christ living in me now. I just love that, right? The person who you were before Jesus is dead. Jesus is alive, living in you. The last scripture that we're going to look at, and it's not on your screen, I don't think, because I added it at the end, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's familiar to some of you, I'm sure. And it says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. It's right there. Awesome. anyone who belongs to Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. Therefore, we must live like that. We must live and allow this cross that you have in your hands. Obviously, this is a symbol, but I wanted you all to have this today because I loved, A, that you could hold it in your hand. I love that it has a heart because that reminds us, who's on the heart, my throne of my heart? Is it me or is it Jesus, right? And we're called to live this way of the cross, the way of Jesus, not comfortable, but crucified. And I want to challenge you today to examine your life, to examine your heart, to examine your relationships, and ask yourself, are you living comfortable or are you really living crucified? Because those two things look very different. And we are called to die, to pick up our cross, and to follow Jesus. I know that's heavy, but it's the challenge that I want to put before you. So if you have your cross, I want you just to put it in your hand. And I'm going to play a song. Well, actually, Kim's going to play a song, but we're going to play a song. And as that song is playing, I want you just to close your eyes, and I want you to have a moment with the Lord. All right? That's where the altar call is going to happen today. It's going to happen in your chair. It's going to happen where you're at. All right? Maybe for some of you, right, you've been carrying a cross that you were never meant to carry. Maybe it's the burden of guilt and shame or trying to earn God's love. So you might be carrying something you shouldn't be carrying. So in this moment today, you can lay that down, right? There might be others of you in the room that you've left the cross behind. You've chose comfort over commitment, routine over real surrender, ease over anything hard. Regardless of why or what, today Jesus is calling you to come back to the foot of the cross. He's calling all of us. Because I believe today all of us can answer this altar call. All of us today can respond to the word of God and be challenged to live more crucified. Not just to admire and be grateful for all that Jesus has done, although that is good, but to come to a point today to lay our life down and to take up our cross again. So as this song is played for the next couple of moments, I want you and Jesus to have a conversation. Talk, reflect on your heart and respond, and then we'll go from there.